We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Gabriel Borenzi. The New York Yankees up 6-4, trying to add on another insurance run here in the bottom of the eighth inning. They've got runners on second and third, and there's one out right now. So there's some drama in the Bronx, and it looks like we're going to have another game tomorrow night, Flaherty and Garrett Cole. So suddenly we could potentially have a series on our hands here. College football, I would say we got a real classic going on, but that would be live. 9-3, Sam Houston State. Up 9-3 on Louisiana Tech. As I stated, the MAC will be back next week on national television. But I don't mind this right now because I'm on Louisiana Tech plus 10 points in this football game. And they're down by 6 right now with 2 minutes left, and they have the football. Meanwhile, we're on Lafayette plus the points as well, but we're on the over. We're not going to hit the over. It's 23-17 with 5 minutes left in the game unless they get a touchdown and miss the extra point and blah, 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 blah. But we are covering the point spread right now with the dog. We got more college football coming at you this week, along with the World Series. It looks like Loud Edmonds in the house, and me and Loud hooked up on Sunday night. Although he got me on the back end, like he got me on the 19th hole after Friday right. night, Saturday travel, Seattle. I got left on the side of the road. I had to find an Uber and a Jack in the Box. Yeah. It was quite the adventure, but it was nice to meet you on Sunday night.
An Uber and a Jack in the Box.
Yeah, it was always something. Yes, yeah, it could have been worse, but you know, it is what it is. Yeah. It's always something to be happening with me. And I did like the property, but I got to tell you, like when I woke up like Monday morning, I was like, damn, man, this place is further than I remembered it. Because all the other times I was kind of drunk. Like, I was like, you know, coming back from the game, or I was fired up going to the game. So there I was in the morning going to the airport. But it was great seeing you. I actually enjoyed the Muckleshoot property. The Yankees have added another run on the board, 7-4, which really, damn, two runs was possible. Three is tough. But, yeah, it was nice meeting you, Loud, on Sunday night. Too bad I wasn't there longer, but good stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting here in Washington. It's an old school sports book experience where you go somewhere and you get a real ticket. And that's the only way to bet legally in Washington State. I have a casino closer to me that I really like. It's Little Creek. Next time you come out, I'll get you staying at Little Creek Casino Resort. It's a little bit closer to everything, and it's definitely closer to me, and it's kind of a smaller property. I like a smaller sports book where you can make small talk with the guys at the desk taking the tickets. That's, you know, kind of, and I'm old school Vegas, you know, that's where I learned sports betting. So walking up to a window and, you know, getting the ticket and then being able to walk up right after the game and cash it, that's still kind of my preferred way to play. And that's the way it is here in Washington State. There's no online gaming in Washington State is illegal. So if you're going to bet, you have to actually go to a sports book property.
I enjoy it, too. I've been betting for so long, and I've done all the different types, like you said, this and that. And I love the cash aspect of it, but at the same point in time, it's frustrating because I was at the window, and I was like, yeah, I want to put this much on that, but I can't just click it, right? When you can just click and you got money in your account, you just click it. Right. It's different, Loud and Cam, when it's real paper money coming out of your pocket.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly, Gabe. So, why did they give you tips at the blackjack
I was
table?
Like, yeah, exactly. So, but I was at the window and I was like, I put 500 on the bills. I went up. I was like, give me 500 on the bills. And I was like, yeah, give me 250 on this. And I'm betting. And then I was out of money suddenly. I was like, well, what's going on here? And I'm like, well, you only had 1400 on you, bro. You don't walk around with 8 dimes. Like, I just gave him 1400 bucks. I was like, so I sort of walked away from the window dejected, feeling like a loser. I was like, man, I really didn't get everything in I wanted to here. And I had other people, I could hear them hush talking behind me. They're like, man, this guy's betting big. They were all looking at me and stuff. Because a lot of people there, Cam, it was like, all these sports books are the same, Loudon, Cam, but I swear, it's just like MetLife in New York. Sunday morning, bro, there was dudes taking like 10 minutes at the window, 12. Like, dude, one guy, it was like, his ticket was this long, guys. I even said to him, damn, how many teams you got on that? He's like, 16. It's like, God, bro, like, good luck. Like, yeah, you're not going to win. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
those guys take up all day, too. It's like, it's almost like a grocery line game.
If you're the worst, though, they make it up at the window. Like, show up with it and tell them, bang, bang. Yeah. They stand there like he's all, what about the Eagles? What's that now? And then they make it up on the spot.
I hate that.
But all in all, I did enjoy it. I got to tell you, though, that Muckleshoot place, man, it was like Sunday morning at 8 a.m., and their place was banging. And it wasn't like football people. Like, people playing those slots, like, man, these those properties in Washington are raking it in, man. People are really gambling a lot, I'll tell you that. So the baseball game has been blown open right now. And the New York Yankees have put an explanation point on this. But the good news is I jumped in on an over 12.5 earlier in this game. And now it's 10-4 for the New York Yankees in the bottom of the eighth inning. So it's a blowout, 10-4. Dodgers still remain 11-1 favorites to win the series. The Yankees are plus 650 right now. This football, too, as I stated, we're down to the final moments here. And Texas State are in trouble, actually. Lafayette have the football, and they're up 6 with 3 minutes left. So let's take a look at we got some college football tomorrow night. And, of course, Loud, it was last week that the Liberty Flames 17-game regular season win streak came to a crashing thud against a Kennesaw State football team that has never beaten an FBS program before, and they freaking beat the Liberty Flames as 27-point underdogs.
Yeah, and now you've got Kennesaw State, the Owls. They've only been in Division I since 2010. They're taking on the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers Wednesday night at Hutchins Industries LT Smith Stadium. This is a 7:30 Eastern kick. The Hilltoppers are a prohibitive 24.5-point spread favorite. Game total is at 49. Now, do the math on that. Kennesaw State, 1-6 against the spread. Of course, their one win was against the against, as we said, Liberty last week. As I'm watching Sam Houston State return an interception for a touchdown.
God. Wow. You can't make this up. I've got Louisiana Tech plus 10. This is like the only thing that could have gotten me at the end because down by 6.
I'm on Sam Houston. So just saying. I had just texted a bunch of my friends that I can't believe I was dumb enough to take Sam Houston again. Anyway, so the Owls, you know, still they beat Liberty. They average 15 points a game, which is 132nd. They have turned the ball over 12 times. That's 80th worst. They convert 40.8% of their third down attempts. They're bad. They're just bad on offense. Now, their defense allows 31 points per game and 402.6 yards, both above the 100 worst. And they're playing the Hilltoppers average almost 30 points a game. And they surrender only about 22 points a game. Now, this is a weird stat. The Hilltoppers opponents convert 52.4% of their third downs, which is very good defense on third down. But they, well, I mean, which is terrible defense on third down, but they have the number two red zone defense against scoring behind only Army. I don't know how that works. How is it you're so good on third down defense and so bad at the red zone defense? Anyway. Western Kentucky only scores 28 points per game. They're a 24.5-point favorite. I can't do it. I'm going to have to go with the Kennesaw State plus the 24.5. It just looks like they're figuring it out a little bit.
The Red Hot Owls. How can you pass them up?
Red Hot Owls.
Looking for a consecutive win streak. Yeah, cover of two. Yankees really blowing this open, 11-4 right now. We're going to have a game 5 in the Bronx.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, God. Yankees Twitter's just already, like, blowing up already. The comeback is on. And I'm going to have to deal with this for another 24 hours. I really don't want this series to go into Friday. It's going to be a long week. Like, just getting, I can live with it. End it tomorrow. Fine. End it in New York. But this thing goes to Friday. Suddenly, we got a long week on our hands of suspense, although it'll be entertaining. But we thought the Dodgers in six before the series started. I always had the feeling that Yamamoto was going to be on the hill, would be the guy in that game. So tomorrow would be Flaherty, then Yamamoto, and then potentially a Walker Buehler sighting in game seven. But we're not there yet. But we are going to five, that's for sure. We'll get you the number in a couple of moments. The football game, wild ending here. There was a turnover and a touchdown, but it's been it was overruled. Down by contact, played a dead play. It was Sam Houston State ball loud. And just like that, the cover was on the line. Listen, I've always said this. It's like if you bet on MMA, that's not the UFC. If you bet on some other, you know, lower tier league, you know, you bet on whacked out stuff, you're going to get whacked out like endings. And you bet on these football games, this stuff, you're going to get, you know, whacked out plays like that. Can't believe that the entire cover came down to that one play. They win by six instead of 13.
No, I'm handicapping these midweek because I know on Tuesday nights, you know, you guys have all week to bring in people and handicap the Saturday games, the Sunday NFL slate. So, you know, I'm like taking on these midweek games. I've got another one for you tomorrow night, Conference USA, Jacksonville State and Liberty. The Gamecocks opened losing three. They're going now for their fifth consecutive win when they face Liberty Flames, who about had the worst loss in college football last week. Kennesaw State is absolutely terrible, and they managed to lose to them to drop to 5-1. They were talking about college football playoff. Yeah, good luck with that now. The Gamecocks, meanwhile, are coming off a 42-20 win over Middle Tennessee State. And, of course, the Flames are coming in off that loss. Now, Jacksonville State averages almost 40 points a game. They're pretty balanced on offense in both the run and the pass, but they're not very good on defense. They give up almost 30 points a game. Liberty can score, not last week, but usually, and they average 31.8 points per game. They throw for 215.3 yards and rush for 225. Again, very balanced. They've played much better on defense than Jay State. They're only giving up 22.2 points per game. But last week, they gave up 27 to Kennesaw State, who averages 15 points a game. So it's a weird one to try to figure out. Now, here's where there are some interesting stats that are leading me towards my choice here. I was tempted to take Liberty, but after last week and the fact that they are lousy against the spread, they are 1-5 against the spread on the season, Liberty. Liberty ranks eighth among FBS teams for average point differential in the fourth quarter. So they score a lot in the fourth quarter. Jacksonville State also scores a lot of points in the third quarter. Now, this number on the over is big. It's 63.5, but I am betting on the over because I think we're going to see a couple of late scores that take us to the over in that game.
Yeah, Jacksonville State, you are right about that. They're a good second-half team. They're kind of slow starters, and then they pile it on. Their offense has been on a roll right now, Jacksonville State. 42, yes. 54, 63, 44, 34. Like, they've been putting up 34-plus routinely. Liberty, as you stated, they score 31 points a game, but it's an ugly 31 points. The offense isn't clicking right like it has in past years. Salter's not having a good year. The wide receivers don't get open. It's all about the Cooley kid, the running back, and it's very predictable. Like, they give it to the back, and they hope that he can just sort of, you know, bail them out. And as you stated, Liberty have been good in the fourth quarter loud and can, because Liberty have been trailing all the time. Like, they've been, right, they played with fire all year long, and they always came back, mm-hmm, and, you know what I mean, they pull it out. I figured they'd do the same thing against Kennesaw State. They couldn't. This is 1,000,000% gut check time for Liberty, right? Coming off their first loss in a regular season in 3 years, basically, right? They don't lose a lot of games. They got their ass handed to them by the Oregon Ducks last year in the Fiesta Bowl, and they lost this game, right? In the last 2 years, like, they won 17 straight regular season games. It's at home. We're going to find out a lot about them, but they're a hard team to trust. They really are. They're just not that good this year. Let's just call it out for what it is. They're not a great football team, but I like where you're going with the over.
I've got a AAC Thursday night game, and then I want to get into my screed about Aaron Rodgers and the Thursday night NFL game. You got the AAC Tulane taking on Charlotte, and Tulane is 3-0 as a road favorite. Charlotte overall 2-7 against the spread. And this is going to be a game where they're at Charlotte. Tulane has an awesome offense. They are scoring, like, averaging almost 40 points a game. They run the ball almost as much as Army or Navy. They 40 rushing attempts per game on average. The Charlotte 49ers are having a tough season. They're tough not only just in losing, they're just bad against the spread. And here's their problem this game. They conceded 244 rushing yards to Memphis last week. Previously, 192 to Navy. 203 yards allowed on the ground on average of the season. They rank 118th nationally against the run. This is a bad matchup for Charlotte going against Dane, who has three or four good running backs and a good running quarterback, and is just going to run the ball all over them. It's a fairly large spread for Tulane at 16.5, but I'm thinking they win like 38-20, and I also like the over at 55.5.
Yeah, I was thinking about the over here. The Tulane team total is 36.5 for this football game. So 11-4 right now. The Yankees are about to win. The crowd's all fired up. And now the pressure is going to be on Garrett Cole tomorrow to extend this series and send it back to L.A. For a game 6 on Friday night. A potential game 7 would happen to be on Saturday night if that plays out. I like to go back, but it's getting pretty pricey.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, the Yankees are they're one out away from setting this to 5 games. And, you know, I think the Dodgers sort of needed this a little bit. It kind of, you know what, I can't compare the Canadians and the Yankees and the Lightning and all this completely, but all right, the game's officially over, 11-4 final. But I was even there. The Tampa Bay Lightning were up on the Montreal Canadiens 3-0 in the Stanley Cup. And it's one of those, you know, the families are there. I've talked about it in the past. Like, the families are there. The champagne and the parties are planned and all that. They don't want to admit it publicly, but they don't have a choice but to book this stuff, right? So, like, you know what I mean? The ballroom at the hotel is booked for the family party after if we win the World Series tonight. And, you know, I talked about it. I remember it was the Florida Panthers, actually. That's it. Now I'm getting a flashback. I remember the Panthers even admitted. They said, yeah, man, like, the last 2 games when we were up, we were distracted by, like, thinking about winning and stuff. Like, now we're, like, we're just panicked to win. Right, I think the Dodgers sort of need a little bit of a wake-up call here. It was kind of a little bit too easy for them the last couple of games. But tomorrow won't be easy. We'll get Garrett Cole on the hill. I'll tell you that. So Wednesday, and 1-1 in the hockey game right now, too, with the Kings and Sharks. But so we got Wednesday night baseball. No baseball Thursday. If the Dodgers win tomorrow, it's over. If not, they play Friday. But the New York Jets are on TV, unfortunately, once again, on Thursday night. Football. The Houston Texans are getting 2 points loud at MetLife Stadium. And similar to the Giants, the Jets are a terrible home team. I don't know how the hell they are favored in this football game against the Texans, but I could be wrong. Maybe the Jets win. I don't think they do. What do you think?
Well, to paraphrase the immortal words of Brutus in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, I come not to praise Aaron Rodgers, but to bury him. Aaron Rodgers has not...
Well played, Loud. That was nice.
Thank you. I should do it in my Marlon Brando voice next time. Rodgers has not had a 300-yard passing game in his last 25 games. His QBR is 50.4 this season. Let me tell you the quarterbacks that are below him. No, I'm sorry. Caleb Williams, Dak Prescott, Jacoby Brissett, Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, Gardner Minshew, Will Levis, and Deshaun Watson are the only quarterbacks worse in QBR than Aaron freaking Rodgers. This guy got the offense he wanted with no motion, nothing new he'd have to learn. Keep it simple for him. He got the receivers that he wanted traded to the team. He got the coach fired, and he sucks out loud. He is the problem. He's a diva. He's not a leader of men. I like to call him the man bun. I don't think he's well-liked in that locker room after, you know, the first month or so that he was there and people figured out who he really was. And the absurd statements he makes after games like, we have to embrace the darkness, and I've been there before. And this is after he blamed the media after the last game that they lost badly. So I have had it with Aaron Rodgers. I think he's been overrated for years. The guy had he's basically this generation's Dan Marino. All the talent in the world and a toxic personality. And now the Texans haven't been great. Stephon Diggs hasn't done much. I'm not worried about losing him. They score more than the Jets, 23 points to the Jets 19. They run the ball better, 118 yards per game to the Jets 86. They pass the ball better, 200 yards to the Jets 224. And they both allow about the same amount of points, 22 and 21. The Texans in their last four games have lost narrowly to Green Bay in Green Bay, smashed the Patriots 41 to 21, who the Jets just lost to, beat the Colts, and beat the Bills. The Jets have lost five straight, including that loss last week, which was terrible, to the Patriots. Yet the Texans are catching points in this game. Yeah, I'll take the Texans in the points. Thank you very much.
It's either an easy win for us or we're walking into a haunted house, which I believe it will be Halloween, too. So it's going to be Halloween, which it'll be a madhouse, actually. That'll be fun. That'll be the most entertaining thing about that Jet offense, their fans' uniforms. Maybe everyone will show up like Fireman Ed. Loud Esmond, where can people see you? That's my costume. I'm Fireman Ed.
You can get my stuff at Winners and Winers. And also, I have the radio show in Southern California, Steer the Line, on Friday night.
Loud Esmond. We got Rick Saratella next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci, the Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the Rick Saratellas, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack. It's been a wild 48 to 72 hours in the National Football League, on and off the field. Rick Saratella, the founder of the NFL Draft Bible, allaccessfootball.com, a scout with the Edmonton Elks, steps up and in, and he's also a Yankee fan. Rick in the house. Things aren't going so well in New York, especially for the football teams, never mind the World Series. But, you know, it's just a constant train wreck at MetLife Stadium over and over. And here we are right now. They have a combined 4-12 record on the season. And, you know, so the New York Giants, they lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday Night Football. Okay, I'd have to say the New York Jets are the bigger disappointment out of the New York football teams, but it's just more of the same, isn't it, Rick, with New York football? It sucks, just point blank. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's been a decade of doomsday experiences, right, for the New York football, New Jersey football teams. And, you know, listen, Brian Daboll, he benched the wrong first round. He benched the cornerback, Deontay Banks. He should have benched the quarterback, Daniel Jones. He comes out and reaffirms Daniel Jones going to be the starting quarterback moving forward. You know, he keeps going to his go-to phrase. Daniel Jones gives us the best chance to win, except you never win. So, you know, Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets had more wins than Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor, and every other quarterback combined last year. Maybe you should find out what he can do with another year under his belt. But they're going nowhere with Daniel Jones. 6 years of this. I compared it to Dave Brown, you know, and it took Kent Graham to get us out of the Dave Brown experience. But my mock draft is coming out Friday. I got the Giants taking a quarterback. They have to turn the page. Whether or not Joe Shane and Brian Daboll will be there to do it, I don't know, because that whole Saquon Barkley fiasco that played out in front of the national audience on Hard Knocks, I don't know if Joe Shane comes back from that. The Giants may have to blow this whole thing up. You talk about the Jets, the expectations were there. Aaron Rodgers has been abysmal. I mean, this guy has been as disappointing as Boomer Esiason when Boomer Esiason came over from the Bengals, MVP. He's on the back nine, washed up. Jets need to blow it up. Unfortunately, they're going to be picking in the draft where they lose out on a top-notch quarterback. They're invested so far into this Aaron Rodgers excursion. I think they're going to double down or triple down and do it again next year. That's how crazy they are. But it's just a mess in the Meadowlands.
Dude, they've given them complete control of their organization, and the hole just keeps on getting deeper. Like, no, dig up, stupid. Right? Like, all right, yeah, let's bring in another one of his buddies, Devontae Adams right now. That has ramifications. You owe him money now. And it's unbelievable to me that they're actually on TV this week, pre-planned, and we can't flex this football game against the Houston Texans. And the Jets are actually favorites. Like, it's unbelievable to me how the New York Jets, yeah, like, time and time again, Rick, like, people, oh, no, but this is the week they're going to turn it around. Like, this is right. Where they flick the switch. Okay, Stephon Diggs is out. With all due respect to Stephon Diggs, I never understood that whole deal with Houston in the first place. They didn't need him. And I really don't think he's going to have that much of an impact that he's not there for them. And the Houston Texans are plus 2 points against the Jets, Rick.
I don't understand it, Gabe. This is a 6-2 football team. This is a really tough defense to go up against. And they will pound the rock now. They will run the ball there with Joe Mixon. They will air it out. They got a couple weapons there on offense. C.J. Stroud is playing way better than Aaron Rodgers is. So I don't understand how the Jets are favored in this matchup. It's a short week. Funny things have been happening on these primetime matchups, but you mentioned, like, hey, we'll bring in Devontae Adams because Alan Lazard didn't work and Randall Cobb didn't work, and they just keep appeasing this guy. And the head coach, I mean, he's way in over his head. You got Rex Ryan out here now politicking all week. He's saying he wants to coach the New York Jets. I mean, it's just been such a fiasco. It's unbelievable.
Rex has no shame. Like, and, you know, in the sense that normally coaches, you know, they're not trying to get coaches fired. Rex is just openly like, you know, I want the job. I want back in the National Football League. So, you know, man, you know, Daniel Jones and the Giants and, you know, the Jets are one thing, but the Giants could take, like, we could speak about it for a month and how, you know, what's wrong with that organization. And even Belichick said the same thing that we said. He said, number one, he goes, you know, you have to sign off. Belichick said, you have to sign off on allowing stuff to be filmed when you tape stuff like they showed, the Barkley conversation.
Yep.
And even Belichick said, I don't understand how they thought that was a good idea to let people see them say that. Like, even Belichick is mocking them, saying these guys are idiots. Like, basically, like, you know, just basically, for whatever it's worth, Mara came out and said that he's, you know, they got the support and all that, but maybe if things turn into such a train wreck. But let me ask you, there's so much stuff to get to, Rick. So Steichen loses his patience with Anthony Richardson, and they're going to go with Joe Flacco. They're a 4-4 football team. I can't sit here and tell anybody and tell you, Rick, that Joe Flacco doesn't give him a better chance to win football games right now. but you're also not winning a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. And it's almost like having a baby and then being surprised that the baby cries after, and you have to change the diaper. It's not like a microwave, instant, like, you know, instant quarterback success in a National Football League. And I understand Richardson, and we all knew Richardson was raw as hell in the first place, but I get that, you know, he gives a better chance to win stuff. But here, how about this, Rick? And I just want to throw this out here because I saw this and I thought it was interesting. And our boy Sam in Master Control will find this interesting. First 10 career starts, Anthony Richardson, 7 touchdown passes. First career 10 starts, Josh Allen, 7. So let's compare Josh Allen's first 10 games in the NFL to Anthony Richardson. 7 touchdown passes each. Richardson, 5 rushing touchdowns. Josh, 6 touchdowns. Rushing touchdowns. Anthony Richardson, 11 turnovers. Josh Allen, 13 turnovers. Anthony Richardson, passer rating, 68.8. Josh Allen, passer rating after 10 games, 64.2. Completion percentage, 50.2. Terrible, abysmal for Anthony Richardson. Josh Allen, 52.3%. Win-loss record. Josh Allen was 4-6 in his first 10 starts in the NFL. Anthony Richardson is 5-5 in his first 10 starts in the NFL. Have the Indianapolis Colts thrown Anthony Richardson under the bus too quickly, in your opinion, Rick, or do you agree with the move?
I agree with the move, Gabe, and I got to give Shane Steichen credit for admitting a mistake and moving on. And I think that what you did see from Josh Allen that you don't see from Anthony Richardson was glimpses of brilliance. Like, there was games where Josh Allen flashed huge arm potential. I mean, he had a cannon arm. He made throws that you just didn't see before. I don't think we've seen that from Anthony Richardson at the NFL level. And for as much bad as there was early on with Josh Allen, there was a lot of good. The good doesn't come around too often with Anthony Richardson. They win because of Jonathan Taylor. They win because of the defense. They win, you know, these close games. But Anthony Richardson, like, Jaden Daniels has come in and lit the league on fire. Now, I'm not saying Anthony Richardson has to do that, but you're not seeing that kind of greatness flash before your eyes. And I think, you know, Joe Flacco is the superior quarterback. I just don't know, like, are they waving a towel? Are they throwing it in on Anthony Richardson? Because Flacco's probably going to be retired in a couple months. Anthony Richardson, you spent the first round pick on. I think it's a byproduct of a short circuit, a short patient span in the NFL these days. These young coaches, they come in, they don't win the first year or two, they're starting to feel the heat. They got to win ball games. And instead of doing what's best for the organization, which is developing a young quarterback, they're out here trying to win ball games and save their job. And it's just it's a confidence thing. You mentioned the Giants' hard knocks. It's an ego thing. You mentioned Shane Steichen. It's an ego thing. Egos tear down football organizations.
You're bang on. Well said, Rick. And I tweeted the same thing earlier. Coaches are worried.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're breaking it down with Rick Saratella. Always a pleasure talking football with Rick. AllAccessFootball.com. So, of course, Rick is the founder of the NFL Draft Bible, and on a weekly basis, we always check in and look at the updated odds, who's going to be the number one pick in the National Football League draft. And if you guys recall, and I saved the tweets and post, I've been saying, and I said all along, I said Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers are not going to be the number one picks in the draft. They were the favorites for the most part. I said Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick of the draft. The odds makers have listened to me, Rick. Shedeur Sanders right now, plus 375 to be the top pick in the NFL draft. Cam Ward, the second choice, at plus 550 right now. Travis Hunter at plus 600. Carson Beck, 9-1. Quinn Ewers, 11-1. Garrett Nussmeier is now 18-1. Jalen Milroe, 18-1. What do you think right now as far as where we stand this week? And there are going to be teams that are going to be needing quarterbacks at the top of this NFL board. Tennessee Titans, you talked about the New York Giants. To me, the Raiders are going to need a quarterback. What are your thoughts on the updated top pick right now?
I think it's fascinating, Gabe. I think Carolina and New Orleans are playing this week, two teams that could be in the quarterback market. But when you look at Carolina and you look at the head coach, we just talked about young coaches being on the hot seat, David Canales. I mean, if it was me, I'd be firing this guy after one season. Maybe he's still there. But, you know, Bryce Young just got drafted as the number one overall pick 2 years ago. We saw this with Josh Rosen, the same exact scenario. And it looks like the Panthers have moved on. Now, there were some positive comments made after Bryce Young's performance the other day, which I don't know how that happens. They lost like 45-14, and the head coach is talking about Bryce Young played a good game. I don't get it. So, you know, to me, I think the team has already moved on. Andy Dalton's a retread. Bryce Young, I think they're kind of done with that experiment. So I do believe Carolina is going to take a quarterback. And the best quarterback in college football is Cam Ward, right? And so the Tennessee Titans, who you mentioned, are going to be picking number two if the draft were held tomorrow. Same deal. Will Levis now, he slid out of the first round. There was some first-round hype about him. They're giving him a kind of fire-by-trial type of situation, but he hasn't won over anybody as far as I'm concerned. So, like, Shedeur Sanders would make a lot of sense for Tennessee, and I actually have Travis Hunter number three to the New England Patriots because I do think their quarterback situation is set with Drake May. One last thing about the Saints. We mentioned them. I think they're currently, like, in the seventh slot. They've got to ask themselves, is Spencer Rattler better than the third best quarterback in the draft? That's the scenario the Saints are going to be dealing with. But I think we get two quarterbacks up top, and then there's maybe a drop off. Beck, Jalen Milroe, I think, slide into the first round. Quinn Ewers now is a round two guy for me due to durability issues.
I got an opportunity to watch. I was traveling on Saturday, but I got to the resort hotel sports book. Made sure in Seattle to stay in a place where I could bet on sports. Rick, but you can't do it via app in the state of Washington. You have to do it in person. And the native casinos are in control of it. So we were staying up there at Muckleshoot. Great property, actually. If anybody's ever going to be in the area, I do endorse it. And they didn't even pay me to tell you that. But good place to stay and a good place to bet. But I was, you know, after the Dodger game, I actually bet on the Colorado Buffaloes. And this Buffalo team has been really good to me. And it's funny because last year, everybody paid attention to everything that they did. They were getting their ass handed to them, and they were on TV all the time. Now they're winning, and people really aren't paying attention to them. They're on late at night more now, and they're kind of flying under the radar a little bit. But they're a good football team. Like, I'm telling you guys, I've watched the development of this team, and they've really come together. And speaking of Shedeur Sanders, at one point, Rick, he was 14-14 to start the game. And you and I talk about it, bro. Not like he has a ton of time in the pocket. Like, he's 14-14. Improvising, running around, making plays. He ended up 25-30. And I swear, Rick, I don't know if one of these incompletions was like a real incomplete pass. Like, most of them were like, I got to throw it out of bounds because I'm running for my life. Like, this kid, man, he's just dialed in. I don't know. Like, to me, he's not getting the attention that he actually should for the high level of football that he plays on a weekly basis, Shedeur Sanders.
You're right about that. I mean, and that's a really high-quality football team they beat in Cincinnati there. That was the most efficient game he's played, I think, of his collegiate career in terms of the FBS level. Colorado, you know, had some good games at Jackson State, but this is very high-quality caliber competition. And, you know, I think he's going to make a good NFL quarterback. I don't think he's going to be for every market. But when you talk about Tennessee, a situation where he can go in there, it's not exactly stage A, tier one, major media market. He can kind of go in there, do his thing, be himself, save the franchise. I think he has that kind of talent. But, I mean, the decision-making, the maturity, the way he checks the media, I think is highly impressive. People might not like it, but I dig it. And this man's answers, I mean, he might be too smart for his own age, but that's the byproduct of him, man. Right? You know, these guys are so mature. Yeah. They're getting NIL deals in middle school. By the time they hit college, I mean, they're smarter than us.
No, this kid's got ice in his veins, and it's one thing. At first, listen, you know, I didn't like earlier in the year we talked about, you know, how's his offensive line compared to my offensive line. You know, I didn't like when he publicly basically admitted that his O-line sucks. But at the same point in time, I've seen him, I saw it on the sidelines actually on Saturday, him supporting teammates as well. You know, he went up to a couple of guys during the game and he told them, There was a story with a center who he's had a problem with a little bit. The center's like sailing snaps over his head. He told him, I got your back, bro. Ain't nobody throwing you under the bus here, you know? So same thing with his receivers. And you got to be real. Let's be real. You know better than anyone, Rick. You need a little bit of cockiness. If you're going to run an NFL team, like, he's not going to be some shy, meek rookie coming in here, bro. This kid speaks his mind in the huddle, man.
Well, let's not forget who his father is, shall we?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
he's like a modern Dion. Yeah, yeah. He's like, he's, you know, he's a little edgier than Dion was even. You know what I mean? A little meaner.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, just like his father, though.
We only got about 30 seconds here, Rick, so right. I'll give you the last
thing. Just like his father, though, Cowboys, 49ers, you love to have him on your team. You hate to play against him. That's who his father was.
That's my only deal is I wonder if they're going to play a few games about what market they're going to want to end up in. But the fact is, either way, you're going to be the face of the franchise, so it should be good enough. Rick Saratella, follow him on Twitter. Always good, Rick.
Appreciate you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, thanks to Rick Yankee fan Saratella. Although Rick is a diehard old-school Yankee fan, showing some love for the Bronx Bombers, who have extended this series. We've got a number for Game 5. Of course we do. And Garrett Cole, of course, is on the hill for the New York Yankees. Jack Flaherty. It's a rematch of Game 1 that went to extra innings. The Yankees are minus 140 favorites right now. In fact, it came down. They were minus 150 a couple of minutes ago. And I was waiting to get to this coming out of the break, actually. And I see a minus 140 right now. Dodgers plus 120. The total is an even 8. So total is an even 8. Yankees minus 140. Dodgers plus 120. And one thing I'm going to miss about the Dodgers in this playoff run are these player props. That, like, tonight, I lost money with the Dodgers tonight, but Mookie Betts was plus 140 over 1.5 total bases. He had a double in his first at-bat. So, boom, there was a plus 140. Freddie Freeman, plus 155. The guy's got a home run in every one of these games. I got to take him to take a home run tomorrow. I'm going to feel stupid if I don't. But he's got a home run in every one of the games. He was plus 155 over 1.5 total bases. Boom. He hit that in the first inning. So you hit a plus one. We hit a plus 140, a plus 155. Lewis Heel, who I thought pitched better than he was better than I thought he was going to be. He was in the game longer than I expected, but he also didn't come anywhere near close to going over 3.5 strikeouts. And it was plus 132 to the under. So we hit 3 plus money props right there. And we ended up making a little bit of money in this game, despite the fact that we dropped another nickel on the Dodgers tonight. I sort of was a sacrifice, Cam. I sort of knew, all right, they might not win, but now I got to sort of come back. Now I go back tomorrow with them again. And then if I have to, it's like a triple up and a quadruple up as we get bigger as we go. I think they can finish it off tomorrow. Tomorrow's a toss-up. I'm not going to say, oh, they're going to beat Cole for sure, or they're going to lose the game for sure. I don't know, right? It could go either way. You know, one thing I am a couple of things I'm concerned about now. Otani's injury is evidently more serious than anybody thought it was. And if they got to keep on playing games, what if we get to the point that Otani can't play, right? So they got to finish this thing off so Otani can go to the hospital. And I'm not a fan of the fact that the Yankee bats came alive that were ice cold. It could continue tomorrow, but it might not. Momentum is fleeting in the playoffs. One game to another, momentum doesn't really carry over, to be honest.
I'm with you. I agree with that 100%. Just because they look confident, can you do it the next day? And no, it would have been nice to get the Dodgers when that line first opened up, Gabe. I waited a little bit, but I still think here's the deal. I still think Flaherty's good. And people talk about Cole, like, Cole is a very, very good pitcher. Don't get me wrong, but you can get to this guy early. Like, he's not indestructible. He can give up hits. You can get to him. It's one of those situations where you look at the team and the Dodgers and the lineup that they still have, and you're getting plus money. And I think that's really, really important. Freeman's been good to us in the playoffs, Morency. I think this is going to be a great game. It will eventually get into the bullpens. And the Dodger bullpen, great point by you. They got rid of guys that were inexperienced and less talented guys tonight. Now, what is left is talent. and the guys that have been there before and guys with better stuff. So that's an advantage at the back end as well. I'll take my shot with the Dodgers, and we'll play it in game.
Yeah, and they're plus money, so that's nice. And once again, all the props are going to be the exact same thing tomorrow. They're the same price all the time, like for bets and for Freeman and the plus money and the strikeout props that we've really been crushing. So speaking of getting crushing, now the Pelicans are losing. The Pelicans were up, like, massively early in this basketball game. They were up 31-14 after the first quarter of play. Now they're losing 97-86. And don't forget, the Warriors don't have anybody. The total is up to 228.5. I was thinking about jumping in on the 221, and I didn't. And I actually won the bet because I bet money on the Pelicans, and they were up by 20 or more.
Yep.
So I got paid. And I tried to double dip it, though, and I came back with the Pelicans when the game was tied after. I'm trying to beat them twice, like with their money, which is a little cocky. And as soon as I did it, the Warriors went on a run, 97-86 right now. And in the hockey game, 1-1 after two periods of play. And one thing, I brought this up earlier, the last three freaking times the Kings and Sharks have played, it has been a one-goal game. And here we go again. We've got a 1-1 hockey game after two periods of play. In-game total is 4.5. LA Kings are still minus 220 favorites.
It's pretty high. And, I'll give the Sharks credit, Gabe. They killed off a lot of penalties. And one other game in the AHL, your team, Abbotsford Canucks, playing the Tucson Roadrunners. This game is tied. I like Abbotsford minus 115 live.
All right. We'll catch you on the Wicked Wednesday. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.